Hello everyone, welcome to a special episode of the podcast today. I'm your host Eduardo Villalpando, and we have a very special guest today. This man needs no introduction. He's played for four different organizations in the NBA, most recently with the Bulls last season. He's now with the Mexico City Capitanes making history. Alfonso McKinney, thank you for being here, man.
Nah, I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Nah, definitely. How's it going, man? How do you like living in Mexico City? We were talking a little bit off air about it, but just tell me your first impressions just about being in the city, just playing in Arena Ciudad de Mexico. The fans have been showing out, even though there's games in the middle of the week. It's been great, man. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, nah, it's been a dope experience so far. I mean, we stand in a nice area. Food in the area is amazing. Man, our arena is, I feel like, one of the best, like, if not the best, like, one of the best arenas, you know, in the G League right now, NBA arena. You know, fans been coming out to support, so that's been great. That's been making, like, the transition for us, you know, that much easier. Just being able to come out, you know, people just embracing us and embracing the team. And like you said, like, man, it's a historic event right now. You know, having a Mexican team affiliated with the NBA, so that's dope too, because you know it gives, you know, gives this country something more, you know, to be proud of. So, man, it's just been dope. I've been having fun, man, and you know, just taking it day by day.
Yeah, I agree, man. Especially that first game that you guys played against Rio Grande, I think you guys set the record for most people in attendance this season, like 7,300 or something like that. How was the atmosphere inside the arena that day?
Man, the atmosphere was crazy. The atmosphere was crazy. I was just happy to, you know, see all those people come out. Like I said, it definitely was a historical moment. Just them being able to come out and, like, watch us and, you know, it being the first actual game in Mexico City. I mean, last year we were in Fort Worth. Had no home games. We played all the games on the road. So for me, it was special too. You know, just being with the team last year and coming back this year, actually being in Mexico City and being able to, you know, be in the city and, you know, fans being able to come out and, like, watch us play. I know they've been excited about it. You know, due to COVID, we weren't able to be here last year. So, you know, this kind of like the inaugural season right here. And, yeah, it was just a dope experience seeing everybody come out, all the kids excited, adults excited. So, yeah, it was dope.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit about that, and especially comparing just last season to this season. I got the opportunity to see you guys at when you guys played the first game in the history of the franchise in the G League at Memphis, and then you guys played in Alabama. I went to those two games. And, of course, it's different because you're playing away. The fans are always rooting against you. How does it feel to actually be playing at home, and how would you compare both seasons? Because I suppose last season you guys were traveling a lot, moving, like going back to Dallas like 2 days or 3 days and going to a different place. So how would you compare both seasons?
Now, last year was kind of hard, you know, just not having a home facility, not a home arena, not a home practice facility. So it was kind of hard just, you know, being on the road like pretty much every game. And being in Fort Worth, you know, but being here in Mexico City has been great. You know, just, you know, having those facilities to be able to go to when we want. Having the arena that we got, the arena is incredible. Being able to have home fans, I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, us being able to have fans come out that support us. Last year we played all road games, and it was pretty much, we had some games though, we had like small fan bases, people would come out, you know, and support, but like it's nothing like being here in the actual city, being able to play on Mexican soil. And man, it's been great. The first game was crazy. I think every game passed then, you know, we still get fans to come out, and you know, people were just excited. I mean, even just being outside, like walking around, you know, people see us and, you know, they automatically, they connect us with the basketball. And, you know, we tell them like Capitanes. I mean, I'm pretty much every person I come in contact with, I tell them about, I tell them about the games and tell them to come out. And, you know, just pulling up to the arenas, you even see like, you know, people outside and you see people selling stuff. And like, It's been great to see, you know, this being a historic moment and, you know, me just being able to be a part of it. So, yeah, it's been dope.
That's great, man. Yeah, people be talking about Seattle, Las Vegas. Man, get an NBA team to Mexico City ASAP, man. I swear. What do you think about that being a possibility in the future?
Yeah, the whole country, man. Like Seattle is dope. I mean, of course, like Las Vegas is dope. But, you know, Mexico City is like, you got the whole, it's a whole country, like, whole, not even just Mexico, like Latin America in general, because, you know, our team is made up, you know, we got guys from all over, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, DR, Mexico, so it's like, it wouldn't just be, you know, the support of just Mexico. Yeah, the team is based in Mexico, but this for like Latin culture, period. And I think that'll be dope. That'll be dope. I think one day that might happen. I mean, you already got the arena. The arena for sure, NBA sized arena. And yeah, I think we the forefront of that. You know, yeah. Us coming out and, you know, just showing like what could come of it. Like, you know, with just, you know, a G League team, and, you know, if you went to another extent, like, what would you see? Because, you know, you have NBA games here. I think it's an NBA game coming up. I don't know when, but I remember last year watching an NBA game in Mexico City, and it was like the atmosphere looked crazy just watching it on TV. And I plan on going to the NBA game here in Mexico City if we're available. And I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be crazy. And yeah, man, I think guys come here and they'll play and they'll be like, damn, like Mexico City, like one of the most livest places like we played at.
No, definitely. I think you guys will be available. I think you guys play the 16. I don't remember. I think against the Austin Spurs, and I think the 17 is the game Spurs versus the Heat in Mexico City.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be lit, man, for sure. And what do you think about the people who say that Mexico City is not a place where potential free agents would like to pull up? Because for me, that's like the dumbest take ever, because you have like right now Alfonso McKinney, Shabazz Napier, Jahlil Okafor, like so many great players in the G League choosing to go to Mexico City. And I still hear this argument so many times of, yeah, no, free agents will not like to go there. So what do you think? What would you say to those people?
I just think they would have to come experience it, man. I think it's one of those situations, like, you just got to come, like, see for yourself. Like, I mean, people hear XYZ and might have certain stigmas about Mexico, but like I said, you have to come and see for yourself. I mean, obviously, I've played in Mexico before. And my first time going to play in Mexico, yeah, I was a little nervous just from what you see and you watch on TV and XYZ. But once I got there, like, I was like, man, like, this place is great. Like, you know, the people, the food, like, just the overall experiences is dope. And us, where we at, Mexico City, I mean, it's one of the, I feel like, one of the nicest, like places. It kind of gave me, like Rodeo Drive vibes. Like, you got all like the high end stores. You got all the nice restaurants, and you know, you could pretty much just walk down the strip and, you know, kind of get whatever food you want. And at the same time, you know, if you want to go shopping, whatever you want to do, like, it's right here. And you know, for us, it's been pretty safe. So I think that's like the biggest stigma is like the safety portion of it. But man, I would just tell guys to come and see for themselves. You know, I've had amazing times every time, you know, I've been to Mexico. And on top, I mean, guys, they vacation in Mexico all the time, like Cabo, Cancun, all those places. So it's like Mexico City, why not come? It's the biggest city in North America. It's definitely dope to come and experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely. Let's talk about that. You talk about your previous stint in Mexico. You played for Rayos Hermosillo. How would you compare both experiences, being in 2016 after going undrafted, playing in Europe, trying to make a name for yourself, to comparing it to now, where, of course, you've been in this finals run, you played over 180 games in the NBA. How would you compare both experiences?
Man, my time at Hermosillo was fun. I had a lot of fun at Hermosillo. Hermosillo was more Americanized. I mean, it for sure was that language barrier, but, you know, it was other Americans on the team, you know, who had played with Rayos previously. Man, I had a great time, honestly. I was just coming from Luxembourg, you know, when I got to Mexico, it kind of like brought me back to myself. I mean, I was in Germany for like 8 months, Luxembourg for like 8 months, you know, just by myself, being the only American on the team. That was hard for me. But once I got to Mexico City, it kind of like, not Mexico City, I got to Hermosillo, it kind of like brightened, you know, brightened everything back up, because I was, you know, I was around other Americans. I was in a Mexican city, but like it was kind of Americanized. Man, the fans were great. I remember like walking down the street, and like fans would be riding past, like offering me rides to my destination. Like it was like that. And just being able to be embraced like by the Mexican culture was, it was amazing. So that's why when it was, you know, it was a chance to, you know, come, you know, to Mexico City, you know, I wasn't really like reserved to come in, because I had already experienced like the Mexican culture and like playing basketball in Mexico and just seeing like how those people like adapt and, you know, embrace, you know, us as athletes. So, man, it's been the same here in Mexico City, man. Everybody's been so embracing and just adapting to us and just, you know, being excited for us. And, I mean, it's really all you can ask for. Like, when you're a foreigner coming into a different country and, you know, coming into somebody else's home, you know, just being embraced and, you know, them accepting us and making us feel welcome.
Definitely. You touched briefly on making the decision to come to go to Capitanes. Shout out to Nick Lajos, the GM. He's done a great job with the team for sure. How has you?
Look, second year Capitanes. He got six previous like NBA guys. Like,
man, shout out Nick.
Three call ups in the first year. Like,
that's something you don't hear at all, man.
Other guys, like outside of the NBA call-ups, other guys just going to, you know, make more money being bigger leagues, like, across the world. So it's like, I mean, it's definitely shows, like, you know, what them guys are doing is good and beneficial to us, the players. And, I mean, you come in the second year, got, like, six, like, NBA, potential NBA guys, and then you got other high-level guys. So it's like, definitely been a solid program as far as like advancing guys to that next level. Yeah. So
I think just his experience, he was in so many different positions with the Lakers, in video coordinator, player development, helping with the South Bay Lakers, helping with the Lakers, and then going to Mexico. I think he's done a great job for real. How is your relationship with him now that you guys are in Mexico City and even last year?
Yeah, no, I like Nick. You can tell, like, it's a grind, man. You just named everything, you know, he'd been through, like, to now be able to come and GM a new franchise in a different country. I think it's good for him, and it just, you know, shows, like, how hard he has worked and all the work he definitely put in to get up to this point. And just the strides he's been making, like, in such a short time. Like I said, we had three NBA call-ups last year in the first year. We only had a 14-game schedule. You know, the other guy, you know, went on to play in, like, high-level leagues. And, you know, coming back this year for the second year, having the talent that we got this year, it just shows, like, proof is in the pudding, man. You work hard, like, you know, you get what you work for. And I'm sure he's excited, man.
He definitely is, man. I think it's only a matter of time as well for him to be in a big-time NBA franchise for sure. How has your music taste changed since you moved to Mexico and you've been around Latin American people and Hispanic people in general?
Man, I mean, I listen to what I listen to, but like as far as music, they play a lot of Spanish music. I don't really understand what they're saying, but you can tell like it's like big time like Latin music, because you see like even just going to restaurants, like, you know, you got the background music, the Spanish music, you can just see how people vibe into it. And I mean, you can tell like it's like great music. Me, I just don't understand like the words. As far as like the beats and the melodies and all that stuff, like I definitely get vibe to it. Like, man, honestly, I just need to get my Spanish up, man. If I get that, and I think, man, that'd be like, that's like the X factor right now. Like me getting over that language barrier.
Give me your top three rappers right now.
My top three rappers?
Yeah.
Man, top three right now who I listen to, man, Lil Baby. I listen to G Herbo a lot. And I kind of just like got on like this one guy from Detroit, Babyface Ray. Like, I listen to him a lot now. So it's like right now I feel like those like my top three right now.
Nice. Did you listen to the new Drake album with 21 Savage?
So I listened to it a little bit. I'm like one of those, like, when new music come out, like, I'm still listening to old music. Like, as time go on, then eventually I'm just going to be listening to that and try to, you know, get into that. But I listened to it a little bit. I mean, I see everybody, like, talking about it. So it might be something, like, I gotta put in my headphones.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time as well till they start playing it for pregame music in the arena, Ciudad de Mexico.
21 Savage is nice. I mean, then you got Drake, like, he, like, arguably, like, one of the best, like, one of the best, like, artists, like, of all time. So I'm pretty sure he got something on there.
No, I agree. Before I let you go, I want to talk real quick about your time last year when you got called up by the Bulls. How was that experience getting to play at home? And then especially, as you mentioned, like, it was such a quick season playing just Showcase Cup games and then called up to the NBA. How was that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I played 10 games last year, like, but being able to get called up to the Bulls was great. I mean, for me, it was a dream come true. I grew up in Chicago, out west. The Bulls facilities are out west, not too far from where I grew up at. So just being able to go back and, you know, for me, it was home. Like, it felt like home. I mean, I grew up watching Bulls games. My family, everybody was, like, Bulls crazy, especially during that Michael Jordan era. It was, like, kind of hard not to. Growing up in Chicago, it's like basketball is, like, it's, like, so pivotal. Like, everybody wants to play basketball just based off, you know, that Bulls dynasty. But, nah, it felt great just being able to be at home, my family, friends, everybody just being able to come to games and, you know, being able to see me on a consistent basis. You know, every other year, you know, I've been away. So, you know, for me, that's being away from family, friends, and all that. So to be able to be, you know, at arm's reach with everybody was it was special for me. And then just, I mean, the Bulls organization, like, is just self-explanatory. Like, one of the greatest experiences I've ever, like, had. So shout out to the Bulls organization for that, man. That was big time for me and my people.
Definitely. And because if I remember correctly, it was, like, you signed 2 10-day back-to-back, and then you were the first NBA G League player who got called up to sign a season-long deal, right? If I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. It was crazy because we was in Greensboro. I actually got a video on my Instagram, like, on my agent, like, called me and stuff. But we was in Greensboro, and my agent called and was like, man, like, how you feeling? And I'm like, man, I'm feeling good, you know, getting ready for tomorrow. Like, we play the Swarm. He's like, man, how you feel about going to play in Miami? So at first, I'm like, Miami, like, I'm like, hell yeah. He's like, going to play with the Bulls in Miami. And I was just like, honestly, like, my heart kind of dropped because I'm like, Chicago, like, you know, I done played in the league, but it's like, it's just something about, like, being able to play for that home team. Like, you know, you see other guys from Chicago, you know, like, you see, like, Derrick Rose playing for Chicago. I thought that was, like, the greatest thing, like, ever. Like, just a kid, like, growing up in that city and being able to come back and, you know, put on for the city. So I kind of, like, when I got that call, man, it was great. And then when I actually I stepped foot on the court for the first time, like, with a Bulls jersey on, like, it was, man, it just took me back to, like, being a kid, like, just being outside hooping, like, going home watching the Bulls games and, you know, just, man, like, it was a surreal moment. Like, dream come true for me, most definitely.
Nice. I actually saw a story that, tell me if it's correct, that you paid $170 to get a tryout in the G League in 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
I started my first G League, it was D League then, like,
yeah.
Wendy Schools. And it's funny, like, that me being with Mexico City, like, in the inaugural season, because I played with Windy City in their inaugural season, like, the first year when I played with them, that was the first year they had a team.
Were you playing at United Center?
Nah, we had our own arena like out on the outskirts, but just still like, that was a special moment for me too, just being in a Chicago G League team. It being their first season, and just me being able to have all my family and friends come out. Like I said, like I've always been outside of the city, and me being that close to family and stuff. Because for me, like family, that's like one of the most important things for me. So them just being able to come out every single night and, see me play, it was special for me and it was special for them, man. Windy City, it was great, but the Bulls, it was next level, bro. Like it was next level. And then, I just think it was great. It served motivational purposes too. I think a lot of people, who played parts in like, my development just coming up, and like, it made them feel good. And it gave, the youth in our city a chance to see, like, man, somebody who wasn't like highly recruited, highly scouted, really like had to like work my way up, be able to come home and play, in the biggest arena like in our city, and right in the heart of the west side of Chicago, like me being from the west side, I think that gave like a lot of shorties like hope for real, like, if he could do, I could do it. So that was it. So much stuff played into that, but it was all dope. Like it was all dope, and I'm very
Did that
damn it
also
out.
play a role in you going to Eastern Illinois?
Yeah, man, I went to Eastern Illinois because I'm one of those. Like I always like being close to home.
Man, it's hella cold there, man. I have a friend who plays tennis there, man, and they play literally inside all year long. Crazy
Yo,
cold.
look, I grew up. This is funny. I grew up in Chicago. I went to college in Eastern Illinois, then transferred to Wisconsin. Way cold. First year in the league, played in Toronto, which is like the cold is different. But I'm used to the cold. It's funny. My first year having a winter with no snow, I think was when I played with the Warriors when I was in the Bay. That was my first win. I was like, damn. Like no snow, I'm like 25. Like my first winter ever, like without seeing snow, like.
That's wild. That's wild. Okay, this is the last question I got for you, and I'll let you go. So, if tomorrow morning you wake up and it's 2015 again, and you have to do it all over again, you have no contacts on your cell phone, you have the same after going undrafted and everything, would you do the exact same things, or is there anything that you would like to change?
Man, I can't even say I would go back and change it, man. Like, my journey is my journey, and it's definitely like built me up to be like the man I am today, like on and off the court. I felt like I just had to endure like certain situations, in order for me to, take strides in like my growth and development, like just like as a man in general. And man, I can't say I would go back and change it because, once the slightest change could change my whole trajectory. And I'm happy, with my journey, where I've been. I've had some great experiences. I've been able to play with some great people, like some of the best players like to ever step on a basketball court. And I'm definitely thankful for that. And I still got a journey that's going. And like I said, I just think like everything, that I've been through, it helped me, and it like just molded me into who I am today. And just somebody who looking at my story, somebody who might not feel like, oh, I'm not as talented, I might not be this, I might not be that, I feel like they can look at my story and be like, damn, like, if he was able to do it, I could do it, because like I wasn't the most talented. I wasn't the most recruited. Like, I mean, my first year I made $1,500 a month. Like, do the math, over an 8 month span, that's $12,000. Like, and playing in Luxembourg, I've played second division Luxembourg. This crazy. I actually worked out for a first division team in Luxembourg and a second division team in Germany. And both teams told me after that, like, man, like, we don't think you'll be able to produce in this league. So just hearing that is like, some people might take it a certain way, but for me, I took it as like, damn, like, nah, like, I know, what I'm capable of. So then, you know, I ended up playing in the NBA D League that year, and like I had a good year, and it catapulted me. And you know, like I said, like I wouldn't go back and change anything, because it definitely like molded me to be like who I am today, and just made me stronger, man, in every aspect of life, honestly. Like,
do you think that when you were going through this process, you were enjoying where you were at that specific moment, or were you always thinking about the future? Because there's times where I heard this from Max Kellerman the other day. He said, part of the dream is the pursuit of the dream. So did you enjoy those moments of being in the second division in Luxembourg and then transitioning to Hermosillo, or did you just have like tunnel vision of, okay, the NBA is where I want to be at, and I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm there?
So I think like it was different stages. I think like being in Luxembourg, I mean, I just felt like I was better than where I was at. I mean, it was kind of depressing to a sense, because like I kind of knew like my talent level, and I knew what I could do and, you know, where I could ultimately play at. But, you know, I had to go through that. Like I had to go through that. So now, like in the moment, I wasn't thinking like, you know, I'm embracing it to the fullest. But like now that I look back, like, you know, that was my first year, you know, being abroad alone, being away from family, not being so close to everybody, like being in a different environment where I kind of knew nothing. You know, I was the only American, so I had to adjust to like a whole different culture, you know, of people that I didn't even know about. Like before Luxembourg, I was like, I didn't even know what Luxembourg was. Like, I kind of just took a leap of faith, and now looking back, you know, it just helped me, like, just being in that environment, like, it helped me, like, grow mentally, like, you know, and I think that's, like, one of the biggest things, like, mental strength, like, when it comes to this game, because a lot of it is mental, like, you know, and if your mental not right, then, you know, physically you can't, I don't think you could be right. So, yeah, like I said, like, that experience helped me. But once I got to the D League, well, once I got to Hermosillo, it was more so I had fun at Hermosillo. Like, I was around familiar places, familiar faces. Actually, a guy by the name of Emmanuel Little, he grew up in my neighborhood, a little older than me. He was the one that brought me into Hermosillo. He had played for them for a while. You know, I got back to Chicago after Luxembourg. He called me and was like, man, you know, we got an American that's down. I'm gonna put the bid in for you. I think I had talked to like the Rios like that Wednesday, and like I was in the Rios jersey playing Friday.
Man,
and you know, that was a dope experience. Like I said, I was around familiar faces. You know, it was fun time at Hermosillo, and then the NBA D League. You know, just knowing like, you know, what I had been through playing in Luxembourg, overcoming that, the mental battles with that, then going to Hermosillo, and then coming into, you know, a whole different league. I mean, the D-League, G-League is, I mean, it's a lot of guys that's NBA-level talent guys, like Euroleague-level talent guys. And for me, that was kind of like the first, like, biggest test. And I think it was that year in the moment, you know, I kind of, like, I was excited to be there. You know, I was excited to be there. I always looked at my career like, man, if I could make, you know, more money each year and, you know, advance my game and do a little more each year, like, you know, I'll be good with that. Like, and for me, like, the D-League at the time was that. Like, I got to play with against great, great players, guys who played in the league, guys who were going back to the league. And, you know, I got to be around, like, a league atmosphere. You know, I got the chance to practice with the Bulls a little bit before training camp, just being in that environment, being in that facility, like just seeing how things were. And that thing that kind of motivated me more, like when I got to the Windy City Bulls, to really go out and like embrace it and just show people, you know, that I can play like at a high level. Thinking back on those, you know, those teams from Europe, the Luxembourg team and the German team telling me that I couldn't produce on second pro A Germany and first league Luxembourg, but you know, being able to get the opportunity to play in the NBA G League with more talented players, like, you know, I had the chance to go out and just prove myself, and you know, I haven't really looked back since. So yeah, man, I wouldn't change anything about my journey, man. I'm here for a reason. I believe in everything happens for a reason, and You know, without those experiences, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I'm thankful for them, man.
Yeah, definitely. I agree, man. Well, that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for taking the time, man. I truly appreciate it. I want to congratulate you as well, because what you guys are doing in Mexico City right now, man, it's literally history, man. And I know your story is literally one of one. Plus, adding this to your resume is like amazing, man. Putting, as you said, being in the forefront of the new Mexico City wave in basketball and hopefully having an NBA team in the future is amazing, man. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate you, man.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be at, I'll be at the Austin Spurs game December 16 and at the Mexico City game, Spurs Heat on the 17th. So I'm sure we'll be connecting over there, man. Thank you, man.
Everybody in Mexico City, man, come out. Capitanes, man. Definitely a great experience, great basketball, man. If you ain't came to a game, make sure you catch one.
We'll do on everyone who's listening to this podcast and they're leaving Mexico City, they need to pull up ASAP. But yeah, thank you, Alfonso, and thank you also to all the fans for tuning in to another episode of the podcast, and see you guys next time.